At Celebrate, I've been taking you through John's Gospel. And tonight, we've made John chapter 12. And in John chapter 11, Lazarus died. And then also in John chapter 11, Lazarus rose from the dead. And then in John chapter 12, everybody wants to kill Jesus because he's emptying the graves. He's doing the funeral directors out of commission, the co-op going bust. It's really bad. And then something really remarkable happens at the beginning of John chapter 12. It says this: 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, the one whom Jesus had raised from the dead. We've got that now, haven't we? So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving him, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of fragrant oil, pure and expensive nard. That doesn't sound like a real word, does it? But it's a word. It's a Bible word, and it's nard. Say after me, nard. Yeah, it just still doesn't sound right, even when you say it. So she took a pound of pure and expensive nard and anointed Jesus' feet, wiping her feet with her hair, so the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Because he had a sort of a weird, deep Yorkshire accent, did Judas. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. I tell you what, Jesus must have had a fair bit of money going through if he could afford to support a thief. That's just something to think about. It says this then: Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me." Turn to the person you sat next to and go, "Quick, a glass of water for this gentleman over there. I think he's fainted." Now, I want you now to say to the person next to you, "You smell wonderful." And now I want you to repent of that sin. You shouldn't tell lies like that. That's not good. Now, seriously, if we just whiff up a little bit. Can you smell something in here? Can you? Can you smell something? Wilbur, is it you? Thank you, Wilbur. Do you know, he's absolutely unmoved. He's just not moved at all. So, this room that we're told about in this passage of John is full of this great scent. Now, I don't know about you, but if I walk into a highly perfumed room, I start sneezing. Yeah. I can't stand it. I have to go out sometimes, my eyes are running. I remember once having to sit in the back of a car with a woman who just emptied half a bottle of Chloe onto herself. Oh, don't talk to me about Chloe. Ah, I'll give you 100 perfumes that are better than that. Even some of the cheap naff ones are better than that. But, you know, sometimes we can get a scent in a room, can't we? And it's overpowering. And there was a scent in that room that was overpowering. And do you know what? It wasn't the scent of nard. And, you know, with the best will in the world, when you say the scent of nard, it doesn't conjure up a good picture to me. You have the scent of nard. Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan. You want to say that to someone who smells of nard, don't you? But this woman, Mary, because a name is given here clearly, and in this particular instance, which it's clear from reading the Bible that there's at least another instance that another woman does this to Jesus. But this is Mary, sister of Lazarus. And this is about roughly a week after Jesus has raised a brother from the dead. And she goes to Jesus and pours onto him, anoints him with a pound of spices that would normally be used when you're embalming the dead. And I don't want you to be thinking now of that horrible smell that we put in jars at school when you've got a dead frog and you leave it in formaldehyde. We're not thinking of that sort of embalming. We're talking about how you perfume the dead so that as they start to stink, there's something that makes it a little bit easier to live with. So she pours a year's wages worth of expensive perfume on Jesus and gets told off by the thief who wanted a bit. He wanted a cut. You know, Judas actually didn't speak with the Yorkshire accent. It was Italian accent. You know, if you just think Godfather, that was Judas. You come to my house on the day of my daughter's wedding and you ask me to do murder. I can't do it very well. But, you know, it was more like that, really. But the big deal here is that Mary anoints Jesus, throwing a year's worth of money at him. They were well off, Mary, Martha and Lazarus. Don't be confused. They had plenty tucked away. They'd already anointed Lazarus, and that year's salary they'd poured on Lazarus, it only lasted 4 days, because Jesus had to get him up. And, you know, I can see him now. I can see Martha saying to Mary, "Oh, Mary, I told you to only use half a bottle." You know, I mean, what a waste. But for Jesus, she pours the whole thing on him. And Jesus says, "Don't tell her off. Don't tell her off. She saved this for my burial." Now, what was the scent in that room? Was it nard? Which I still want to laugh at, but was it nard? No. I'll tell you what the smell was in that room. It was the smell of faith. Because Mary does something that nobody else in the Bible is recorded as doing. She anoints Jesus' body for burial because she knows he's about to die. And she also knows this. If he could get her brother up in 4 days, he won't be there that long. And so as an act of faith, she says, "Jesus, look, I'm slightly busy at the moment. I don't think you're going to be dead for long. I want to anoint you now to get it out of the way so I can say I did for you what I would have done for my brother or anybody in my family. I want to do that to you because you deserve it." And as an act of faith, she blew a year's pay on Jesus in one evening. And that smell of faith filled that room. Now, tonight, I just want to say to you in the couple of minutes I've got left, is do you have that sense of faith with Jesus? You know, it says a little bit later on in John, when Jesus was crucified, it says on the third day, they went to the tomb, and it tells you who went. And there was Mary Magdalene, not Mary, sister of Lazarus. Don't get confused with all the Marys in the Bible. Mary was the most popular name in that century for women. I do stress for women, not for men. There weren't many men called Mary. But Mary, there was loads of Marys in the New Testament because there were loads of Marys in school. You know, you get this in school, don't you? I mean, a few years ago, speaking of Chloe, my wife, as a teacher, she had a class full of Chloes. I think she had 5 Chloes in her class at school. I mean, how confusing is that? Although when I was at school, everybody was called Stephen. And so that was confusing as well. So Mary, she was another Mary. But this Mary is the Mary of the one whose brother has been raised from the dead. And this Mary is the one that Jesus said to her, "You know, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not die, even though he will not live, even though he dies. Something like that. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not die." And you know something? Jesus is the resurrection of the life today, just as he was then. And Mary believed that, and she believed that Jesus was going to be like a flippy frog man. Now, is there anybody in this room that's about 56 or 57, like me, who remembers Flippy Frogman? Oh, you sad people. Flippy Frogman was a toy that you bought for boys who were about 6 or 7 or 8 in the 1960s. And it was a plastic frogman, and you opened his cylinder on his back and you popped full of it sodium bicarbonate, you know. And you closed it and you dropped him in the water and he sank to the bottom. And then all of a sudden he floated to the top. And then he sank to the bottom and he floated to the top. He kept doing this. And then when he eventually wouldn't float any longer, you had to reach into the tank, get your little arms wet, empty out his tank, fill it with fresh and start all over again. And as a little boy, I was absolutely mesmerized by Flippy Frogman. I thought he was marvelous. Absolutely great. So I ought to maybe go on the internet afterwards and see if I can find a second-hand one. Probably be 50 quid or something crazy like that. But you know, Mary saw Jesus as Flippy Frogman. She could see that he was going to end up in the grave, but he was going to... You couldn't hold a good man down, they say. And Jesus was not going to stay dead. He was going to get up again. And you know, she believed that so much that she wanted to anoint him now. And I want to say to you tonight, Jesus is alive. He ain't dead any longer. He's sat at the right hand of the Father. He's sent his Holy Spirit to fill us and empower us so that we know we can have God with us day after day after day after day after day. It's better than having Jesus somewhere in Israel. We've got the Holy Spirit on the whole earth. It's a much better deal for us. And that's what church is all about. But Mary could just sense this. By faith she believed it. And the smell in that room was not nard, it was faith. And everybody knew. Jesus said, look, she did what she could. She did what she could. And you know what? All you need to do, all God's asking you to do is to do what you can. And I just want to say right now, if you want to be like Mary and you're prepared to blow the lot on Jesus, you're prepared to pour out a year's pay if necessary. I'm not going to hold an offering at this point, by the way. Just in case you're worried. He's working up, he's talking about money now. Oh, I'm going. No, it's nothing like that. But if you are prepared to risk it all on a man from Nazareth, then let me tell you, the payback's enormous. My father died when I was 7. When I was 8, I wandered into a church and I found a new dad. And I'm not talking about the pastor, who was very kind to me. I'm talking about Father God. Yes. And, you know, we've been through some stuff as a family, but God's been with us. Yes. And he's never left us. And, you know, I didn't go wild as a teenager. As a child, I received Jesus. As a teenager, I walked with Jesus. As a young man, I married a Christian woman, and we've walked with Jesus for 33 years. We've got 3 lovely daughters and they're walking with Jesus because it's what we do. Because there's a smell of faith in our house. There's the smell of faith in this church. And however bad you're struggling today with a little bit of BO, the smell of faith comes over much stronger. It really does. And seriously, if you will believe, then Jesus wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to know you. Would you like to just bow your heads for a moment? I just want to say this simply to you. God is love. God, his very essence of his being, everything he does is based on this one preeminent characteristic that he has, that he loves. God loves you. And we get so worked up about our personal hygiene. I've oiled my beard this morning. That's how worked up I get about it. Can you imagine someone oiling the beard? It's bizarre. I'm never going to do it again. I used half the bottle this morning. But what really matters, personal hygiene is good, but having the smell of faith on you, now that's really good. That's really good. And I want to ask you, do you know Jesus to the extent that you'd be prepared to blow a year's pay on him, that you'd be prepared to anoint him with oil or whatever it was for his burial, even before he was dead? Do you believe that he's the resurrection of the dead? Because that's what she believed about him, because that's why she did it quick, because she knew she wasn't going to get a chance. Remember, even the women that did go to the grave to anoint him, they didn't get a chance because Jesus was already up. Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Do you believe that Jesus wants to come and walk with you and give you life so that you will never die, but you will always live before him. Do you believe that? I just want to say, while every head is bowed, if you don't, if you've never really believed that, but you think you might want to, then I'd just like to pray with you. I'm not going to make a public display of you. No one's going to see this. But just while we're here, and there's just us and God, why don't you just raise a hand quickly and take it down again? And that will tell me that you want me to pray for you. No one can see, no one's looking. Just raise that hand and pop it down again. Thank you. Now, Father, we just ask you that you would stir in us faith in your word, that we might do and literally believe that you are a God of the resurrection, that you, Lord Jesus, are alive, that you've sent your spirit. Would you do this for us? Would you presence yourself with us so strongly that we know that God, who is good, is with us?
Yes,
we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.